All right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Susnow.
Hey, everybody. This is Mark Susnow. Thanks for tuning in to another show of the Inspire Possibility Show. And February is relationship month, right? We think about relationships. There's Valentine's Day. We think about our relationships. Think about relationships, whether we're in one, whether we're not in one. And we kind of reevaluate where we are in relationship. And this month, I'm going to have several experts with me to talk about this complex subject, this mysterious subject. There are many experts, and what today I've invited John Gray, and I think most of you are, if you've not read it, are familiar with his seminal work, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. That was written in 1992. And when you think about perspective, that's when Bill Clinton was just elected president. And certainly there's been a lot on the paper about relationships, presidents, and everybody. It's just a complex subject about divorce, and things have changed now. There's gay marriage. And John has written an update called Mars Venus Revisited. And I'm very curious to see what he has to say about it. And I think he's just calling in. Is that you, John?
Yes, it is. Hi.
All right. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks.
Good. I was just talking about you and talking about how relationships are so complex and mysterious. And there's so many experts. And then there's John Gray. And your book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, was written in 1992. Is that about right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and I was just saying, to get perspective, that was right around the time Bill Clinton was elected president.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot has changed. And then recently you have a new book out, right?
That's Mars correct.
Yeah, and what kind of motivated you to write this new book? What did you see change in terms of relationships?
Well, the relationships have changed dramatically over the last 25 years. Men and women are still different, but how we are dealing with the changes in our society and their complex world affects men and women differently, and then that affects our relationships differently. So I wrote Beyond Mars and Venus because Mars-Venus is sort of symbolic for many people of the traditional relationship of man as provider and woman as homemaker. And we are way beyond that. And the sort of the line of differences on the obvious surface in terms of what we're doing has blurred. It's like men and women are almost the same. Men and women doing the same jobs that men used to do. And many men are spending more time with the children and so forth and being more involved in the home. So that creates a whole new dynamic, particularly when women are making more money, women are more educated. They don't need men. And
uh-huh.
You know, when you look at relationships, the love that we feel is when we feel when men feel needed, and when you need someone and they're providing for you something, you feel a lot of love. And so the love evaporates very quickly, the intensity of it, if there's no interdependence. And so what I'm explaining in this book is in order to experience happiness in life and fulfillment in our relationships, women are way out of balance. They're way on their male side, their independent side. And so how to not give up that, but how to come back and find the balance of their own love and their appreciation and their happiness and their, and this is really all centered around helping women come back to what I'm calling the female side, but actually on a practical biological level, and there's a lot about hormones in this book, that's one of the most significant differences between men and women, is that women basically need much, much more estrogen and progesterone in order to feel well-being, whereas men need much, much more testosterone. Your average man needs 20 to 40 times more testosterone than your average woman. Otherwise, they'll have a heart attack. And
wow.
The woman, yeah, it's a huge difference. And, you know, our bodies are designed to make testosterone and not estrogen and as much. We certainly have estrogen. And when we're feeling really loving and kind and gentle, sensitive, that is our estrogen side. So we have that side of us. But if it becomes too strong, we become angry, fearful, defensive.
Well, Let me interject here. You were saying that part of the change dynamic is that women are out of balance. But what about the men? Are the men out of balance too? Or are they
too much
in touch with their feminine side?
Well, men are more emotional, and that's the estrogen. That's the female side of us. We all have it. It's a good thing. It's just when it pushes down our testosterone, it's not a good thing. And now we're seeing that men's testosterone levels are dropping. And for boys, they never even get up there. They're going to puberty on average 2 years later just because their testosterone levels aren't strong enough. And, you know, average healthy men at 35, their testosterone levels are starting to drop. At 50, they're half what they used to be. And historically speaking, men's testosterone levels have never dropped. They peak, you know, at 18 years old, and they stay the same throughout their life. And that's not happening anymore. So this is good and not good. You know, you don't have to have super high testosterone levels, but what you want is to make sure that the estrogen is not too high. And their relationship, there are skills, okay? Like, let's say you're a guy and you're watching a football game, actually, and not attending to the
like
children.
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. That is a testosterone booster for men. And then here's Valentine's Day. and Valentine's Day is a major estrogen producer. Yeah, it's a switch. It's a good thing to happen. But for women, when they feel special, when they feel attended to, when they feel safe, and also most important, when they can express themselves and feel valued and heard, what happens then is their estrogen levels go way, way up. Their stress levels go way, way down. And while women have always needed higher estrogen, they need more support to find their female side today because they're way over on their male side. And traditional roles sort of were conditioned women, created a cultural conditioning that really supported estrogen for women and really supported testosterone for men. You know, don't show feelings, be tough, be detached. And I'm all in favor of bringing back a lot of that for men with a balance, you know, with a balance of also connecting more with your emotions and your feelings. But for example, if you get angry because you've got all these emotions, don't get angry at your partner. That's so important. Men have to control this sort of the high voltage of estrogen, and it's a new thing. So what you're seeing is more divorce and everything. There's a lot of arguments. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of hurt feelings. There's a lot of shutdown that happens in marriages. And a big part of that is women want to express themselves more. They have to learn how to do that in a way that doesn't sound like she's always complaining about him. And men have to learn how to manage their emotions because men get hurt. They get sensitive and they strike out, you know, and they argue and they sort of dominate in that way sometimes. And that just kills the romance in the relationship. And the good news is when you learn to manage this stuff, which, you know, I've written a whole book on that, which is
exactly.
Then the attraction and the chemistry can last for a lifetime. And I've been married 31 years, so I'm an example of what I'm talking about. And I've seen thousands of people where I help them restore this natural polarity in their personal relationship where women are connected to the female energies and men are connected to the masculine. And you know, Valentine's Day is a perfect example of that. Not that we have to do it all the time, and it's not the only way for sure. But it's taking a woman out on a date or doing something special for her, cooking her a meal, writing a card for her, attending to her needs on a more personal, emotional level, where she's feeling beautiful and special. Those are the kinds of things that women thrive on, and men do that always in the beginning, but they don't realize how important that is to continue doing little things.
So what do you, there's definitely a trend going on here in terms of the male-female lines, or especially with now gay marriage, and I mean, it's just legalizing something that's been happening all along, but definitely the lines are blurred between the male and female energy. I mean, do you see this trend continuing? Sounds like what you're suggesting, in some ways, we want to turn back the clock. We want to, like, kind of shift the momentum or change the momentum, but it's hard to shift momentum.
That's such a great point, which is it's hard to shift momentum. Here so it takes, you know, awareness, and it takes deliberate active willpower to shift momentum. And what happens if you're walking a tightrope, because that's kind of an example here, you're balancing two opposite forces, you know, the more sensitive force, the tougher force, the detached
right.
force, the emotional force. So you're balancing these things, and everybody has got their own unique challenge. We're all different. But if you're a man, you've got to maintain the right levels of hormones, and, you know, you don't create testosterone by hugging your children, okay? I mean, and taking your wife on a day. You've got to recognize certain behaviors will stimulate one hormone, other behaviors and situations will stimulate the other one. So you're working on this balance. And once you start going out of balance, there's a momentum to keep going that direction. You know, once you're falling, you just keep falling, unless you have, you know, something to help bring you back, which is strong awareness. You're going out of balance, how to come back into balance. And that's what, you know, this new insight helps people to, you know, clearly define the behaviors, activities, thoughts, emotions that go with one side or the other. So when you see if you're stressed, see, this is the key thing, is when you're stressed, that's the sign they're out of balance. You don't have to get a hormone test. You can just go, am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling angry? Am I feeling overwhelmed? Am I not sleeping well? These are all, like, very obvious symptoms of hormonal imbalance. And people often say, I want to go get a test, so that then the doctor can give them hormones, which makes it only worse, okay, for most people. You want to be able to learn how to make these hormones, because that's how we're designed to do it. We never have taken hormones in the history of humanity. Not that we can't do new things. I'm an open-minded person. But the key, what you just said, is that the momentum, and the momentum comes from how good it feels. It just feels so good to express a part of you that has been pushed down by culture. And so it's like, you know, let's say you're a child and you grow up and all the kids have sugar and you don't, and you get to eat sugar. Oh, you're just going to go off on sugar. You'll become a sugar
right.
addict. It's just, there's so much energy that gets released when a part of you is free. And so women are enjoying that. It started around 60s and 70s. They started enjoying the freedom of independence, not depending on a partner. But you go too far that direction, then you suffer the consequences. And they are now, you know, just massive amounts of health problems
right.
and hormonal imbalance and stress and unhappiness and divorce.
And do you think a lot of the health challenges are related to relationship challenges in terms of this blurry role?
Oh, we're seeing
blurry
that
lines.
Now. There's no question in the minds of a huge number of researchers, and I talk about this in the book, which is they show that all of your cancers, for example, have to a great extent, have to do with estrogen. Whenever your hormones are out of balance, what happens is your cortisol levels increase, and cortisol is a hormone that inhibits digestion, so you can't digest your proteins. Cortisol, which means you can't make the precursors for brain chemicals. Cortisol is also a hormone that causes inflammation in your gut. So you'll see so many of the problems our boys are having today and girls are having today and adults are having have to do with digestion and the gut. One out of six women over 65 has dementia. I mean, that's a reality right now. Five times as many women have Alzheimer's than men. But when you look at the younger life, you'll see that five times more, or actually twice as many boys have ADHD. And you know, in some countries, this is worldwide, it's spreading. 30% of the boys in Japan don't even want to get married. And if you go to universities, a large number of women there don't want to get married either. They're just interested in their career. They become like men who are not tempted and sort of motivated to get married through the allure of a woman, loving a woman. And so there's a lot of confusion for people as these different parts of them come forth. And it's also an easy way to escape your authentic feelings. Let's say you're a woman and you're feeling afraid and nervous. Well, you could just, that's an estrogen. So you could just go out and work hard and you won't feel the anxiety or nervousness as much. So we can use going out of balance as a way of avoiding what we would feel if we're in balance. That's, a lot of people overeat for that reason. A lot of people overdrink for that reason. Because when you do these addictive substances, it pushes you even further out of balance. But then you're out of balance and the new problems come from that.
John, let me ask you something. What I'm always curious about is I have this belief that we teach what we want to learn. And in 1992, you write this book, right, that is a pivotal book. It's what been translated in 100 different languages or 50 languages, right?
50 languages, 100 countries, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. And so to write this exploration of male-female relationships, what motivated you? What's going on in your life
well,
at the time
yeah, I'm
that you...
Yeah, it was a big thing. Now, I'm 65 now, but I was in my 30s when I was developing those ideas and teaching seminars. And then when I turned 40, I wrote that book, and then I've been teaching it ever since. And most of my books are now, in the last decade, in my 50s, are about health. Like you say, for me, I write what I'm most interested in, what I'm wanting to learn. This one is not so much that, although I find it fascinating. It's more of a response to the need of people. You know, I have a big following who love Men Are From Mars, and so while I've been researching and writing books on health, I still go around teaching seminars on relationship. But to me, while I find women always a mystery, and you know, just always learning how to communicate this message better, I had a lot of challenges in the first 10 years of my marriage, and this information helped me tremendously. And then, it's quite easy these days. And it's what I talk about. I talk about in the book, for example, all the things that the insights, those moments that suddenly made my relationship so much easier and better. And these are the same things that I use with people. You know, I have not stopped teaching seminars. For 10 years before I wrote Men Are From Mars, I'm teaching seminars on this, and people love it, and I get to hear people's experience, not just mine. And then I'm continuing to do that, and it just gets more refined, more polished, and then suddenly science comes along, and science tells us, my goodness, there's massive biological differences when it comes to hormones between men and women, and health. As I mentioned before, as men's testosterone levels go down, their vulnerability and risk of heart disease and prostate cancer dramatically increases. For women, you know, so many women suffer through menopause, which also directly affects their relationships. Now, in a negative way, the indigenous women, they don't go through menopause till they're 70, and when they do, they don't have all these crazy symptoms. I mean, women are really challenged today from this hormonal imbalance, and it's just suddenly when you can know, as a man, I know with all clarity that when my wife is upset, that's normal for women. They're like the weather. They're more emotional if they feel safe. Now, many women today are less emotional and men are more emotional because when women don't feel safe, they close down and they become detached like men. And men today, when they feel free, which they feel now, more greater freedom, they will go over to their emotional side. But also, when men are married to women who are detached, her detachment, he loves her. Men want to love. You know, men are loving beings. They're romantic guys. And his love, he wants to connect. Yeah. I mean, we're the ones, as much as there's this feminist opposite movement, we're the ones who sacrifice our life. You know, for the family, we do all the really difficult things for our family. A man's life, if you look at the history of men, it's always been about sacrifice and for the woman. And, you know, women, you're on a boat and it's going down. Okay, women and children get into the lifeboats and men, every man for himself.
Right.
You know, we just take it for granted. We live in an ocean of well, this is what men do, and there's a nobility to men where we don't complain. So we don't have this big list of grievances that, you know, well, we don't get to do this. We go to the coal mines. We go to this job. We go to that job. You know, and women come in and they start having to participate that. They express themselves. And that's that good part of it is that, you know, women will articulate. Their self-esteem isn't based upon not complaining. To a certain extent, they feel a rise of estrogen when they complain, when they express what's not right. And women are now complaining more because it's that complaining that brings them back to their female side. But they have to learn when they're with a man in a romantic relationship, their complaining is going to kill the romance for him. There's a way to do this, which is to say, you know, I'm going to talk for 10 minutes. I'm just going to vent my feelings about my day, and it's not about you. So you don't have to do anything about it or say anything about it. Just listen. But women have to learn how to shift to talk to their partner, not about them, because they tend to suppress all of their complaints about life to a certain extent and then put it on him, like because of him she has these complaints. And that just kills a relationship.
You know what I'm curious about is that your work, how does it affect gay couples? Are the same ideas? I mean, again, how does this all kind of come together? There's so many people now are more open about their sexuality and about their gender and their different complexity roles and all that kind of stuff. So how does your work relate to that?
Well, I think I'd have to write a treatise for gay couples. And, you know, I've written a whole book primarily for heterosexuals. But I was just teaching a seminar yesterday and 2 days ago, and there was a big discussion with the gay people in the room. They like my work because it describes both parts of them and helps to gain clarity. But it's like one gay woman said, well, first let me preface it. One of the things men like to hear, and women can do this to boost a man's testosterone, is whenever possible, say, good idea, or that makes sense, or you're right, or you're so helpful, this is great. So these kind of acknowledgments for what you do. Now, I know women, many women on their male side listening will be saying, well, I want that too. That's right. That's the male side, mm-hmm. and that boosts testosterone. Mm-hmm. Whereas the female side wants you to say, you know, you're beautiful, I'm here for her, let me help you, tell me more, I want to know what's going on. And then, you know, you're listening to her instead of just trying to fix it or whatever, connect more with statements like, tell me more, what else, and help me understand that better. Women want to be seen, heard, touched, and every man has part of that inside of him. But that's his estrogen side. And if he's angry, he should just turn that part off and go over to his male side. And if a woman's overwhelmed and stressed, she needs to turn off her male side and go over to her female side. So to find that balance, and then you get this sort of both things at the same time. Well, a gay couple, you know, the woman stood up, she says, you know, this is almost funny because, you know, I've got a part of me. She was sort of the man's side of the gay couple. And she said, you know, I want to be told I'm right, and that makes sense, and that was a good idea, and it's so helpful. And then I want you to say I'm beautiful, and you love me, and you can't live without me.
Exactly.
It was very funny. But it's like, but the other partner, because you will see there's sort of an up-down in gay relationships, the other partner, she was very feminine, and she says, no, I've got mainly just the female things going. And the male side, because she's a woman, had strong female side and male side. And so basically it was sometimes you're going to support the male side, sometimes you're going to support the female side. But when there's stress, that's we go beyond all of the what's your sexual preference and so forth, and you get back to if there's stress in the body, then one needs to have that particular hormone, typically speaking, go up. So for them, it would be long conversations where both felt heard. And they laughed and they said, yes, our conversations go on for a long time.
we all want to be heard. You know what I
Let me emphasize that. So this my message is it's our female side that wants to be heard. Our male side wants to be heard if it has to do with solving things and fixing things. But I have a female side that wants to be heard. But you have to realize that you know, when a woman is complaining to a man and says, you don't listen to me, and a man complains back and says, well, you're not listening to me either, that's a big mistake. You see, that's how things escalate. We mirror each other, and we go up, up, up. Somebody's got to take the female polarity, and somebody's got to take the male polarity. And if there's stress, if you want to lower the stress and not escalate, you have to take the male polarity. If you're a man, or if you're a gay man, you want to shift over to your male polarity, and the one who's more feminine gets to be on the female side whenever there's stress. And that's a way of creating a little peace and clarity, is where do we go here? Because as a therapist, I watch how couples escalate. They start mirroring each other and get more and more upset, and then comes, you know, aggression, or what comes out is shutting down, and they gradually disconnect.
John, I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. John Gray is my guest. He has a new book out called Mars Venus Revisited. And
no, it's called Beyond
tell
Mars
us, tell
Venus.
Them,
Beyond
Mars
Venus.
Venus.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond Mars Venus. Where can people get your book?
Well, they can get it everywhere,
everywhere
right now.
Right?
And
everywhere.
You know, when a book just comes out, you get 20% off, so it's a good time to get the book. I just realized that. But
uh-huh.
You know, online it's at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, all the places, and it's in all the stores. So this is a very timely book.
Mm-hmm. What I always like to ask my guests, we're kind of nearing the end of our time together, is the show is the Inspire Possibility Show. So what I'm always curious about, what inspires you right now?
What inspires me is being able to share new insights, you know, with people that come and take my seminars and read my books and so forth, to be able to share new insights that can truly give them inspiration to sustain the possibility of a lifetime of love. And so many couples become disappointed and discouraged and divorced or living together in a passionless, sexless marriage. And with these insights and skills, truly one can create the lasting attraction and interest and grow together in love. And that's what inspires me in my life. And then that's my work side. My personal life, what inspires me is how much I love my wife and my children and my grandchildren and the possibility of, you know, more grandchildren. That's very exciting for me. So I have both those things going on. That's my female side.
Mm-hmm. Like, there we are. And I always like to ask people, what gives you hope in your life, in the bigger picture?
What gives me hope is that there are answers. You know, it's not that the world's going to turn around instantly. It's not going to happen that way. Nothing has ever happened that way. There's shifts. And right now I do see that we're in a major shift in creating the potential for creating a world where people can actually connect and not be at war with each other. Because, you know, the war started home. If we men and women who seek our lives to find somebody to love, and we find somebody to love and be loved by, and if we can't make it work, how can we make it work for the world? Because, you know, it's love that balances that side of us that just thinks about ourselves. We want to balance it with love, and that starts at home in our relationships. And I know that this information that I teach can help relationships dramatically. That means families stay together and children grow up with happy, connected parents, and those children will lead the world to a better place.
Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. It's great to hear that, because I think that sometimes when there's a lot of darkness, we need to kind of hear a voice of inspiration. We need to kind of have a light that we can gravitate to. And it's important for the visionaries like you and myself and a lot of people we know to keep putting that energy out there so
Absolutely.
People can have something to gravitate toward and to inspire them every day. Because I know that it's a lot of people are concerned right now. And I think more than ever, it's important to really listen to the people that are been around for a while, that are showing the way, and see a great opportunity right now for people coming together and to get a movement going to where people are want to make a difference, committed to that. So it's been great having you on the show, and I been looking forward to having you, and I want to say thank you for being here, taking the time to have this conversation, and also for your commitment to making a difference in the world. I think that it's takes a certain amount of sacrifice, and then at a certain point it goes beyond sacrifice to where it's who we are and it's what we're passionate about. So thank you for so much that you do. And to our listeners, you can get John's books, as he said, on Amazon or any bookstore or Barnes & Noble. And so any last thing you want to say to our listeners, John?
Well, at a time in history, there's a major shift where we have the greater possibility to live a lifetime of love. We also have the greatest discouragement, because inside our heart, when we don't know how to achieve that goal, there's discouragement. And whenever it's not working, what I always do is the answer is there. I just have to shift my direction. And hopefully that what we shared today will be an answer for many people to achieve their goal of creating a lifetime of love.
So that's it, my friends. We're coming to an end of the show. And in the meantime, until next time, journey on, and we'll talk soon. Thanks again to John Gray for being our guest.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.